Can you tell me how you became involved in making this film?
Well, generally speaking, I must say I'm a photographer, not a documentary filmmaker so far, but well, maybe I'll become one. So I was involved into documenting the climate movement in Germany from 2018 onwards, because close to the place where I live in Cologne, the Hambach Forest was occupied also. And the Hambach Forest was to be cleared by RWE, which is the power company who runs that runs a brown coal open pit mine next to the Hambach Forest. And they wanted to enlarge it, and so therefore they wanted to clear the forest, and the forest was occupied in 2012. And so the occupation is still going on; it's still there. It's running for 10 years. And 2018, I started a photographic documentary project on the life of the people in the forest. So I went there quite often, and I wanted also to document the different way of living. I mean, living without electricity, without the amenities of a normal urban society, and also maybe the different ideas they have about living with each other in an intentional society. So this project came to an end around 2020, and there will also be right now a book is printed about that. And 2019, I got an assignment by Greenpeace magazine on forest protectors. So I went to different places in Germany where people have by different means protected and saved forests. So during this assignment, I also went to the Dannenroth Forest, where the occupation by then was going on for half a year. And I thought it's really interesting also to do a documentary on this. But I wanted to do a film, a filmic documentary, because I thought it has different means of telling things. That you can work with emotions. You can let people talk by themselves, and by creating a documentary, you reach in a different audience maybe than by just doing photographic work.
Yeah, it's very interesting because you've got the very intimate look at what happened for these people, and you were learning about how to do it at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
The thing was, I knew some people already from the Hambach Forest, so quite a few people who were at the Dannenroth have been to Hambach Forest before. So I had already, when I came there, I already had some credibilities with the people, and they trusted me. And also, I think by being there alone and working as a one-man team with a small camera, I could work much more intimate than if I would have been there with a crew, with a sound person and a director or directress and everything. So, and my idea of doing this film was also not only to create emotion by using a lot of music and musical scenes, but also to hopefully get some messages people can transport into their real lives, into their normal lives. It's not about only fighting against big companies, and not only about saving the forest, but it's also about changing probably the means of thinking and what every person can do for himself or herself to maybe do little changes in her or his own life, and yeah, maybe society even.
Yeah, the people are very clear in their understanding of what it is they want to get across to the German population.
Yes, I think this was also for me one of the most amazing things, that quite a few people, quite a few climate activists are very self-reflective. They know that they can do this kind of civil disobedience only by getting support from people who earn a lot of money and have some spare money to spend for equipment, for food, for infrastructure. Lots of people who lived in that area, they brought in wood to build tree houses, or they brought in food, or they there was one guy in a town next to the forest who supported them by providing Wi-Fi. So he had a kind of he was an amateur radio guy, and he had a big antenna, so he streamed some kind of stuff over there so they could use Wi-Fi in the forest. So
one of the messages was that people contributed what they could contribute.
Yes, I think that should be one of the messages, like the older guy who said that in the treehouse, that it's not, I mean, to change things, it doesn't mean you have to live in a treehouse and you have to run into an open coal mine, but you have to find your own means depending on your age and depending on your social capabilities or whatever. Yeah, that's it. But I think I think one of the problems, at least in Germany, is that the society is dividing. It's more and more. I mean, people more and more tend to live in own bubbles, in small bubbles, and to find their own means of communication with each other. But I think the societies develop in a kind of there's an inner world. This is me, my friends, and the people who have the same opinion as I have. And then that's the outer world, that are the other people. And there's little communication between these two worlds. So we have, like, I think in Australia, you also have the anti-vaxxers. And these people also think they're very sensitive and their rights are cut and everything. And so they demonstrate and they go for rallies. But they do it for themselves only, I think. They do it for their own kind of personal feelings, but the people who occupy forests and they try to change something in the life of others, and they try to change them for the better things, and they sacrifice a lot. Some of them, but they also know, and that's what you said, I think they're very self-reflective. They know that they are in a very privileged position. One woman in the discussion says, we are all white privileged people. And even the police that fights against us consists of white privileged people. And I think this is one of the things that really made a big impression on me, that people know the kind of exactly in which position they are.
There's a couple of things that's very interesting in your film. You talk about the different age groups of people involved in this particular fight, that it's not just a young person's fight, it's everybody's fight.
Yes. Of course, most of the people who lived in the forest were young people, and because, most of them, they didn't have a family or whatever, but they were really supported by the older generation. There was even a group that called themselves over 60. They went in to the forest also to block the police with their bodies, and they had this kind of white painter suits on, which is also, this kind of uniform is also used by an NGO. It's called Ende Gelände. These are the people who run into the coal mines quite often in big groups. And there's this one person also in the film who's talking about generations in the treehouse, and he's also a person I know from Hambach Forest from before, and he's a pensioner, so he has worked his whole life in a car factory, and he's also reflecting these things. He says, like, yeah, I can do these things, but other people might be able to do other things, and it's not a hierarchy to say, oh, I'm better at protecting the environment because I live in a treehouse than other people who might, won't use a car anymore or eat lesser meat or whatever. Yeah.
There's an interesting discussion that runs through the film about the digital age and people distancing themselves from the natural world and how this is actually a problem.
Yeah, I think this is also more and more discussed in the climate movement right now. We still have a couple of places where which are occupied. Like there's a small town, it's called Lützerath, and it's near to a also an open cast brown coal mine. And more means of indigenous thinking are discussed. I mean, are we connected with the rest of the living world? Is there a division between man, animals, and plants, and whatever? And also, what is also discussed is the people who suffer the most from climate change are the ones who are the least responsible for it. So I think this might be also a way of different thinking. How are we connected to forests? How are we connected to animals? How do we respect the lives of others? And it's something that really should be discussed in a deeper way and with a deeper thinking. But I think it's very difficult for most people who are living a normal life with jobs, with kids, with maybe money problems, to think about a different way of treating the world or the environment. Yeah,
you spoke to an older fellow who was adamant that the economy was the most important thing, and that people, it was a ridiculous thing to demonstrate.
Yes, the one, okay, that was the police scene, and he would tell the people, well, if you want to demonstrate, go to the Amazon. And this is also, I think, what do you see in these discussions with this old guy and also with the police that's in the end of the documentary extracting the people from the treehouses, is these two ways of thinking. One says like, yeah, well, we need the economy, and we have laws and we have orders and we have to obey laws and orders. And the policeman also tells the young people, look, in fact, I'm on your side more or less, but I'm the one that's sent up here to because of the law. And it's always the same thing. You can argue about moral law and legal law, but at the end you have to make a decision and you have to find a way how can you justify what you've done for yourself? I mean, what are you willing to risk? Are you willing to risk personal freedom by being brought into jail? For example, most of the activists they glued their fingers, and so they could not be identified.
I noticed that was the thing with the razor blade,
with
the
with the razor blades. Yeah, so with the razor blades, and they used some glitter, and they used this instant glue and whatever. So, like, in Germany, we have a federal democracy. So we have different states in Germany. Like you have in Australia, and in different states we have different police laws. Like in some states, if they cannot identify your identity, and if you haven't done anything major wrong, like killing somebody or whatever, they can keep you in custody for 24 hours. In other states, the police is allowed to keep you into custody for 7 days. So these are the consequences of quite a few people who were extracted in the last days of the occupation, that the police brought into custody, and quite a few people didn't reveal their identity. And there's now also a kind of political process going on in Germany. There's one activist, and the police, she's now in jail for more than a year because the police says she, when they wanted to extract her from a tree, that she hit a policeman, and so she tried to kill him or tried to at least hurt him very badly. And so in the first instance of the court, she was found guilty. So now it's the second round of court now going on, and it seems that she will be released because there's lots of video material that was not shown in the first court, which is now examined also by the judge, and they realize apparently she did not really hit the police officer, and the police officer was secured very well, and it was not really in an attempt to kill him. So because I think most of the people who are in the climate movement are peaceful, and they once in a while, of course.
Watching your film was really fascinating because, one, it shows you, all of us, what's happening in the camp, but also the drama of the police arriving. But I was fascinated by the incredibly intelligent discussions. One of the women in the group was talking about how ultimately the police become the addressees.
Yes. This was, I think, also a very, very important discussion because, I never insinuated any discussions. It was like, because I was in the forest for such a long time, and I sometimes was just sitting next to people, and the discussion started, and then I was allowed to film it. And I think also this discussion is very important because people don't understand when people are shouting at the police and they're saying all cops are bastards and all these kind of things. And what she explains, I think it was so reflective that she says, like, the police is not my enemy, but it becomes the addressee of our rage and of our fear. And she also says, like, that everything they use in the forest, like the clothes they wear, the colors they use for their posters and banners, that has all been produced by really poor people in Bangladesh or in other countries where they really have to suffer to produce these cheap garments. And still, even people in the occupation were wearing these garments. And I was allowed to witness that. I didn't want to make a propaganda movie on people talking about capitalism and sexism and anti-speciesism. I wanted to make a documentary where the informations or the discussions can be also somehow understood by people who have never been involved with this kind of movement, you know, and who can find some sympathy even if they didn't have sympathy for the activists before.
Yeah, well, I think you manage it. I think you really do. I think it's a really interesting dissection of the issues as well as the dedication of the people who are involving themselves in defending the natural world.
Yes. And I think one for me also, one of the most impressive part of this dedication was that they knew they would be evicted. And it's also one of the things the old guy in the trio says. They knew they were evicted and they were trying to make their life as and their tree houses and everything as beautiful as possible, although they knew everything would be destroyed in a couple of weeks. And then I thought, yeah, what is it all about? And I thought, like, yeah, that's maybe one of the things life should be about. You plan your life, you plan things, and you try to make things also beautiful, although you know you will be dead one day, or you don't know what tomorrow will bring to you. But they, in fact, they knew that at everything would end. So, but it would not really end. It would like they carry on. They have it all in their hearts and in their lives, and they will bring these kind of living to other places again. And this is also one of what the girl in the first scene, who sits in the treehouse with her guitar at the beginning, says like that she hopes that they will bring seeds in the world. And that's probably the thing that keeps these people going. Yeah.